Good morning and welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, a public information officer for Lincoln County. And every Thursday here from Yquinna Bay Communications, we broadcast from the Spangler Studios. A pleasure to have in the studio today, Sina Benson Arb. She is a clinical supervisor with Lincoln County Health and Human Services Behavioral Health Division. Good morning, Sina.
Good morning.
Well, pleasure to have you here again today. And I think the context of our conversation is going to be services available for individuals experiencing psychosis or the early intervention of that.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you were here about a year ago, we think. certainly, you were part of the proclamation for suicide prevention awareness to the Board of Commissioners, and it was a pleasure to hear your expertise and feedback. But I do just want to ask you, how have you been doing overall over the last year?
Oh, what an experience, an adventure. From one day sitting with human beings and providing counseling in a face-to-face relational way to telehealth.
Yeah.
Making that shift was quite a challenge.
Yeah. Has telehealth maybe allowed you in some ways to see more patients in a way?
I believe for some it's been absolutely convenient. Not having to find childcare, transportation can be an issue.
Right.
I think for many folks, telehealth does remove a lot of barriers for engaging in services. On the other hand, at times, being in the same room also has a benefit.
Right.
And I think some of my colleagues with working with younger children have found some of the challenges, even with young people being on screens all day with school.
Yeah.
And then trying to engage on a deeper level with counseling online and with video is very challenging.
Yeah, the tactile cues, the body language, I imagine those are important aspects of treatment for you, for the awareness you have. Is that true?
Yes, I believe so. Or even some of our younger folks who have difficulty staying within the range of the camera.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Hear you there. It's just like, are you in front of the camera? Well, Sina, it has been a wild ride, and we're still on that ride. How long have you been part of our behavioral health team?
Oh my goodness, 22 and a half years.
Whoa.
So I guess I'm a grown up now. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what led you to the work? Was there part of your life history that kind of brought you into this discipline?
Oh, definitely. I think we all have a story behind that. I was one of those moms that went back to school after a brief career in radio and getting some calls when I was on air from folks who were struggling with what appeared to be behavioral health, mental health issues, not knowing what to do. Reflecting back on that, I think that was part of the path that led me back to school.
Yeah. So that was sort of like early telehealth, perhaps.
It was. Yes. Yes. Except you have no expectation you're going to see anyone.
At the time, Sina, what kind of broadcast work were you doing?
I was in a rock and roll DJ back when we played albums.
Nice. Wow. Vinyl.
Yeah. Back in the vinyl days.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to think of here, Sina, because, I too have a history in radio, and I think my experience too was there was connection people had to the DJ or that voice that they were familiar with. I think it's what made that history for me so endearing. Fast forward to now with social media and the internet, it's a very different universe.
Totally. And I don't think people play any vinyl anymore.
Yes. Well, hey, I'm trying just to let you
know. At home.
Yes, I am. I'm trying to get back into it, and it seems like it's trending as well.
It totally is.
Sina, could you create some context too for our listeners when we think about the work you do as a as part of behavioral health, and you mentioned this, you've got your slice of the pie. For our listeners' benefit, what does the pie look like when we think of behavioral health through Lincoln County?
You bet. Well, I serve on the child and family team. Mm-hmm. The program we're talking about today, our Early Assessment and Support Alliance, is a bridge between our child and family services and our adult service team. We offer all kinds of services from littles to bigs. Mm. We have clinicians in our school-based health clinics, all four. We offer outpatient services, family therapy. We have some very specialized programs, parent-child interactional therapy for our youngers and families. Mm. We offer treatment for eating disorders. We offer treatment for depression, anxiety. We also have, I think, a very cohesive and compassionate team. So I think we're willing to take folks who are ready for some counseling, making some behavioral changes, family dynamic changes. We just have a very diverse and well-trained, well-oiled team.
Yeah.
We're everywhere.
You know, I'm thinking back to when I was getting my psych degree and really recall, you know, psych 101 and nature versus nurture. And I think maybe because I spent some time in marketing, but I'm also interested in perhaps a holistic approach to just human evolution and mental health, behavioral health. What are some of the key features you think when you look back to the beginning of your career and now? I mean, are we more big picture? Are we, the total person? Is that something that kind of defines how behavioral health has changed over the years?
That's nicely stated, yes. I do think we used to ask the question, nature or nurture.
Yeah.
Now I think we say nature and nurture.
Yeah.
I believe, too, a more holistic lens is what most of us clinicians hold. In fact, looking at things like nutrition, physical activities, sleep, those are things we often didn't mention. And now we realize those are vital for stability, mental health.
Yeah.
Yes, I think way more holistic than we used to be, thinking even about supplements and exposure to sunlight. And also, I think some of the research, the ability to do more studies around brain activity, there's a whole different way of understanding some of this, or even, you know, the gut and stress. So it's certainly not a boring discipline.
Yeah.
Growing and changing and evolving, as you said, yes.
Well, looking at you and still passionate about the work you do, to me seems like a good indicator that it is fulfilling. And I imagine part of it's fulfilling is because you have ways to get good outcomes for people.
Absolutely. And that's the inspiration
I think
that keeps me connected and committed.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, thank you for the work you do. Sina, let's take our first break. We have Sina Benson-Arb. She is with Lincoln County Behavioral Health. And we've got a good discussion that will continue in just a moment. Stay with us. Lincoln County Connection. Sina Benson-Arb is with us today. She's a clinical supervisor with Lincoln County Behavioral Health. And we are narrowing down the lane into a discussion about psychosis today. And Sina, are we talking about schizophrenia, psychosis? Are there terms that maybe our audience might be familiar with?
Yes, absolutely. As we were speaking during the break, kind of those labels that are so powerful and frightening for people even to hear or have a diagnosis of schizophrenia as a young person is rather terrifying.
I imagine.
We like to think about all human beings have a propensity for some altered states kind of experiences. Have you ever stayed up more than one night in a row?
Yes.
So some sleep deprivation will
certainly full disclosure.
Get you there. Yes. So having altered state types of experiences isn't outside of the regular human condition. However, when some of those experiences get in the way of our relationships, our thinking, seeing our performance, our ability to honor work, demands, chores, those kinds of things, then we know that it could be a problem.
Yeah, Sina, I've had the experience before when I've been burning the midnight oil on the computer of almost kind of a, would say like an internal kind of buzzing intensity that was also an audio experience that I had, but it also was sort of like I could feel it. It was like a vibration. With sleep, you know, rest, you know, stopping, resolved that, but might, if those conditions continued into the next day and the next day, would that be, you know, for example, an indicator that I might be having some momentary period of psychosis?
That could be. There are a number of other factors we would want to look at.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I've learned from the families that we've worked with is some very early signs of a potential psychotic disorder look very much like teenage behavior.
Mm.
So parents have said, you know, he doesn't want to hang out with his friends. He's in his room all the time.
Gotcha.
Up during the middle of the night. And some of those behaviors seem very adolescent-like.
Yeah, Sina, one of the things I went through with my 11-year-old was the desire to try to stay up all night.
Yes.
This has come up as, I suppose, an example of his endurance. And I kind of thought that was very interesting that this was something he wanted to try. And so I imagine, as you say, we are looking for the real qualitative things that, you know, define, you know, real psychosis versus just normal, you know, evolution. And so, yeah, tell us how that sort of begins. I mean, are there things you want us to look for and not be too worried about, or are there indicators that should really move us into contacting a professional?
Absolutely. We look for really significant changes that can be in physical appearance, that can be attending to personal hygiene, dressing quite differently, expressing some beliefs that are, the word bizarre, I think, needs to be a part of that sentence, because they're not just unusual kind of adolescent beliefs of trying on some different philosophies and thoughts.
Interesting.
We see challenges in communication, difficulty understanding someone else, perhaps changes in sleep patterns. Parents will say, I hear him up at 4 o'clock in the morning,
oh,
and
wow,
I know he hasn't gone back to sleep. Also kind of changes in performance. So an athlete may all of a sudden not have the physical skills to dribble a ball, or even interact with peers on the team in the same way.
Yeah.
So I think it's more of kind of a culmination of early warning signs of behavioral changes as well as performance type changes. Often a teacher will recognize something different in a paper that's turned in,
yeah,
that may be disjointed or kind of express some very bizarre types of beliefs.
Yeah.
But they can be so subtle, and I think
right,
that's kind of the challenge.
Boy, and Sina, thinking about now how the pandemic sort of isolated us, threw us, you know, changed our behavioral environment to where, you know, we're at home, we're not getting out with the social interactions in the way that we previously had done. I suppose this could make it kind of difficult to sort through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is interesting you bring up that isolation. Some of our young folks in our ESA program, the Early Assessment and Support Alliance program, actually felt some relief around the isolation rather than some of the social demands or demands of this regular school day, which I guess was of surprise to me.
Yeah.
But we also look at kind of this vulnerability and risk. So I do believe that did increase vulnerability, as well as the inability to have more eyes on some of our youth.
Yeah. Really fascinating. You know, the breadth and depth of your services, it really can begin maybe earlier than I realize. When might you begin, your therapeutic work on individuals?
For our ESA program, we look at usually ages 15 to 25, which okay. is traditionally and historically, of course, the time of onset of this illness.
Okay.
Often males a little earlier than females. Mm-hmm. And now we're able to actually assess for a critical high risk for psychosis, including age 12, 13, 14.
Okay. Okay, we're talking to Sina Benson-Arb. We do have to take a break, but we'll come back. Perhaps we could look more at how to engage behavioral health should we need it, and we'll be back in a moment. Sina Benson-Arb is with us today. She is a clinical supervisor with Lincoln County Behavioral Health. Sina, generally, how does the public access the services? You know, where does this begin if we're concerned about our loved one, our family, that might be experiencing, you know, a psychotic break or psychosis? How do we start to sort through this?
We try to make that very easy. You would dial 541-265-4179. You can ask for someone on the ESA team. We do respond to all kinds of intake requests and requests for services. Our goal is within 24 hours. For the ESA program, we actually will meet people where they are when it's COVID safe.
Yes.
So that could be a coffee shop or a family home or the hospital. It's very inclusive of family as well, so it's important that we are able to kind of engage the whole support system on behalf of a young person who may be qualified for this program.
Yeah, and I want to say, as someone who recently went through a meeting with a counselor with my son, and boy, I'll tell you, I had these uncomfortable moments in the beginning where I realized, you know, my counselor was doing some important work of early assessment in our meeting, you know, but it kind of caught me off guard because, you know, it felt really heavy duty. And I know my fear at the time was, oh no, you know, what if this is what's happening to my kid? But I feel very reassured. In this case, I was with someone from the Olala Center, that you can lead people through, you know, dealing with whatever the circumstances are.
And that's the hope. And I'm grateful that you're keeping that hope alive as well.
Yeah. So, Sina, as far as range goes, we're talking about, you know, early childhood assessment as well, but this can extend up through adults. So, you know, is there really, I guess we don't really have any exclusion around who can begin to seek help.
Correct. Yes. And if we're not able to meet service needs, we're happy to find resources, make referrals. Oftentimes, we would want to rule out any kind of medical conditions. So we work very collaboratively with our medical folks in the community as well. But yes, we have open doors, even if it's on a video.
Yeah. And the range of modalities, I sense that it's different from the past. I know we have just a quick moment here, but maybe could you comment on some words of hope that we have successes, right? I mean, are those successes now more than they used to be?
I have certainly witnessed that.
Okay. Well, Sina, finding you on Lincoln County's website is definitely some place to start. And then also, if you could tell us that phone number again.
It's 541-265-4179.
Well, I appreciate the work that you're doing. And remember, Googling Lincoln County Behavioral Health will get you there as well. Really, that phone call, you'll try to call back within 24 hours. I know you're very busy, but I think making the call is worth it.
I do too, and it can be a difficult call to make, so we want to be responsive right away.
All right. All right, Sina Benson-Arb with Behavioral Health, thank you for listening to us today, and we'll see you same time, same place next week on Lincoln County Connections.